When I was in the novitiate, there was kind of a conversation that went on throughout the course of our novitiate year about whether the incarnation or the resurrection was more important. This is the type of debate that only happens in novitiates, studentates, seminaries. But anyway, it went on, and it became kind of other things were piled onto it. Was it a low Christology or a high Christology? Quite frankly, what became clear in the midst of this conversation is that there was more concern about being right than there was about the truth. How can we say one is more important than the other? If there is no incarnation, there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, we would never heard of any incarnation. They are fulfillments of God's plan for us. Or another such conversation. When I was in the seminary, I was coming back in the middle of the year from doing my pastoral year, as is common for us as well. And as I came in that night, there were two seminarians who were involved in quite a vigorous conversation about whether it was liturgically most appropriate to end Mass with an instrumental or a song. Now, I will put my cards on the table. I don't care. But they looked at me and they said, well, what, you know, you've been out in a parish. What do you think the people of God would say about this? They were not happy with my answer. The people of God don't care. They want to go home. That's what they would say about this. They just want it to be nice, beautiful, whatever. I say this because today we celebrate the Word made flesh. In other words, we celebrate today the very incarnation of our God. But it's very clear that we live in a world of darkness. It's all around us. And more important than just acknowledging something that's so easy to say, I can say, oh yes, the Word made flesh. I've said it I don't even know how many times. But if I really worked to allow the Word to make flesh in my heart so that others can come to know God. Do I live in such a way that people believe that Jesus was incarnate? Do I live in such a way that I can both reassure them in moments of difficulty and challenge them when necessary? See, the world did not know Jesus. They only knew him initially because of John the Baptist, who prepared his way. Then Jesus called disciples. Then it became clear that the disciples were given this powerful message when the Holy Spirit empowered them to speak boldly in the name of Jesus. But I want to focus today on what I think is the great challenge for us as Dominicans. Because if the Word is truly going to make flesh in our heart, if it's truly going to become real, there are some things that I think, at least for me, I need to think about. One thing that I need to think about is, what is the quality of my life of faith? Where is it that I think I have things so put together that I don't need God in my life? Where is it that I'm unwilling to acknowledge my brokenness before the Lord? Where is it that I am not willing to go before the Lord in the sacrament of confession to confess my sins and to seek his love and his mercy and his forgiveness? Every single one of us, that are Dominicans, that is, said, when we were asked, what do you seek? We responded with mercy. The mercy of God and the mercy of each other. If I have a fear for Dominican life in the world today, my fear is whether or not we really extend this mercy to one another. When I think of my time in the order, it's about 20 years, not as long as Art Kerwin, who I think knew St. Dominic. But when I think of my time in the order, Every single provincial has had really unkind and uncharitable things said about them. Yes, Michael, even you. And I think, do we do that with a knowledge of really, quite frankly, how crappy a job it is, really? It's not a job, really, where you're dealing with, oh, I'm going to make all these changes and do all these things. Most of the job is dealing with problems. And in the midst of those problems, everybody does the best they can. Everybody does the best they can. I said to Gerard when he was here that twice a day, every day, I pray for him by name. Because I said, you have a job I can't even imagine. We take you away from the people who are your friends. We take you to Rome. So all your support systems are halfway around the world. You deal with nothing but problems all over the world. And we say, go ahead, good luck. So I pray for you. And it was interesting because he said, well, I have to remind myself that I never do this alone. When it is a concrete situation and something happens that we find ourselves saying, I don't agree with that, can we first step back to say, what might have been the circumstance that I didn't understand that impacted the decision that was made? That was my great insight when I was on the personnel committee. I used to look at the bishop before I was on the personnel committee when I was in the diocese, and I'd look at some of these assignments, and I'd just shake my head and say, what in God's name were they thinking? And then I got on the personnel committee. And there wasn't this perfect assignment and this perfect slate of assignments that could be done. Sometimes the conversation was, the people of God in XYZ city have suffered with that priest enough, we need to put him somewhere else. It wasn't scandal, it wasn't bad, but he was a broken man. Oftentimes, the parishes that priests longed for were the very parishes they wound up hating. And oftentimes, when priests said no to this assignment or that assignment, they wound up loving it. And then there's the challenge of not really being able to say goodbye to a previous assignment to accept willingly a new assignment. I have to be blunt. The thing that struck me when I first joined the Dominican Order and I listened to Dominicans talk about assignments was how often they said no. It didn't happen much in diocesan life. Priests said yes. Now, what's interesting is we take a vow of obedience. Now, I don't mean to say we should not offer instances where we are, where it is necessary for us to look after our own health and well-being. The question becomes, what kind of a Dominican are we going to be? How is it that we are going to model for the world the Word made flesh in our lives? And how do we go out and share that great and good news that the soul now finds its worth, that we have the opportunity to be saved, that our brokenness is not the final word, our sins are not the whole story, it is the love of God which we are called to make visible in everything we do. Today, let us pray that we may be vehicles of the Incarnation, so that others may come to know how tremendous is the salvation and the person of Jesus.